Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, just what exactly is the death gift? And is it something one would want to run from?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, indeed it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And hey, this is a show that's supported by you guys. And it has been for many years now. And if you like it, like to keep up with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. A couple ways to do it over at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up there to get access to all of our bonus EPP episodes every single week. EPP standing for Extra Podcast Person. Along with it, advanced episodes and the archive, all of it commercial free. Or over at Patreon, if you prefer that platform, patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of it. And helps keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month. Less than the cost of a cup of coffee. You do your little $5 in there a month and you keep us alive. And collectively, that's how we got this awesome community that we have. So thank you so much. If you're supporting the show, we couldn't exist without you. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
First off, if I start sneezing at any point during this, I'm just going to apologize in advance. Mm-hmm. I seem to have developed seasonal allergies at a time of year I never get them.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And of course, the first thing I thought of is I had some new COVID variant. Because mm-hmm. that's what you default to. You and I were talking earlier. Like, I could break my arm, but first I would look up COVID symptoms, sore arm.
Bone protruding from arm.
And it'd be like, okay, hasn't happened to anybody else. But sure enough, you would go COVID symptoms, bone sticking, and then it'd go out of arm. Crap. Somebody else has already put this in there. Great.
Must be a symptom.
But that's it. Like, I'm sneezing. I got sinus problems, the whole thing. And I'm like, it's typical allergies. And I'm fully vaccinated.
Good.
But I was like, I must have some new COVID variant.
Hell, you know.
It's not allergies.
You never know.
Anyways, but the other thing, so I wanted to tell you this, and I hope this isn't a sensitive subject.
I don't get offended easily, so.
Right, and you and I are very good friends. Yeah. But, you're divorced.
Yes.
But I was also at your wedding.
Yes.
And so recently, last week, I was going through my Facebook memories. Mm-hmm. And it was 11 years ago I posted, which is so white trash to me. And I'm not really like this. But I posted on Facebook, would it be in bad taste to take my own beer to a wedding? Yeah, yes or no? And so all these people are chiming in. And I was like, what the hell? Like, why would I have posted that? And it was your wedding. Like, I'm asking people if I can take beer to your wedding.
I don't believe you did, though.
No, because then the next day, I had to read all the comments because I'm like, whose wedding was I going to? And I explained it, that Tony's getting married and they're only having wine. Mm-hmm. And I don't want wine. I don't really like wine. I get really shit-faced on wine. And then on down the comments, I even commented that I had a really cute, like a six-pack holder cooler that was pink, which is really bizarre because
it's like a different Carol 11 years ago.
Because I don't like pink.
Sure.
I mean, it's fine for some people. I'm not pink.
Yeah.
And I like Pink, the singer, but. So that was weird. And then the next day, in my Facebook memories, thank God I had the conclusion because it said, just FYI, I didn't take beer to Tony's wedding. They had iced tea and I went with that instead.
I'm glad you enjoyed the tea.
I just remember it was really hot.
It was. We were outside in a tent.
Yeah, it was hot.
in this, yeah, it was mid-June of whatever year that was. But
11 years ago.
11 years ago. Yeah, no shit. Now, but yeah, I mean, I've said it on the air a few times. I know many have missed it. You know, I don't expect you to listen to every single, you know, word I say, but me and Jen are divorced and have been for quite some time now. I'm here on the farm. I have full custody of Harper, and me and Harper are doing really good, and we're really happy, and that's all I got. But we're all good.
And Harper is adorable. Oh,
she's doing great. But I know I've surprised some people because I've recently got into a relationship. I have a girlfriend, and I've posted a few pictures on social media, and it's just like us smiling at, you know, various things. And a lot of people are saying super nice
Here's
things.
Another picture of us smiling.
And I it's like, yeah, it's a selfie, I guess. I'm just not a selfie person. So I'm feeling comfortable enough to do that, and I want to do that. And I've been getting a lot of great, glad to see you're happy, blah, blah, blah comments. Thank you. That's really nice. And then I get somewhere, it's like, oh my God, what happened to your wife? Is she gone? And the thing is, it's like my girlfriend is tagged in these photos, so it like goes onto her page too. And then when people are like, "Where's your wife, Tony?" It looks a little weird to others. It's like think before you post. Like on the happy picture of me and my girlfriend, I don't have an open marriage here or anything like that. Where there's some girlfriend on the side. This is my girlfriend, and that's it. I'm divorced. But it does come across a little weird when you get the posts like. Like, I'm so glad you're happy, but what is your, but it's like, no, just leave it. Just be nice. Just be like, if you had a question, cool. Message me. I will answer your questions. But, it's just like, I think it's just because a different world. Like you wouldn't walk up to somebody in person, I think, and say that to them. But when you're on social media, I think it's just so quick to go and then send and that not think of the context of how that affects everyone.
Because you and I last week were talking off the show, because we always have our therapy session first. And I'd had my dog's been really sick, and it's not operable. There's nothing we can do. He's 15 and a half, and he's got a tumor, and it could rupture. And so I've been living with that for weeks now. And so this woman posted on my page about how you need to put your dog down right away. This is going to be horrific and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why do you do that? Do you not think it's horrific anyway? Like, no matter what happens, it's horrific.
I don't know if people don't think they're not red, or they just like the emotional explosion of throw up that comes out of people's mouths sometimes. It's like,
stop. I'm telling you, that effed me up when she posted that, because you and I'm crying. You and I, you're talking me through it. So we do the show and I go to bed. I'm not normally spooked after we do these shows, because I try to kind of keep it light. So because I go to bed right after we're done. And so normally I'm pretty good. Last Monday night, I was up the entire night. The entire night. I was just freaked out something was going to grab my foot, and then I freaked out my dog was going to die, and then I let my dog outside, then I was freaked out my cat's going to die, because my cat's 20, and it was like this whole, like, it really got in my head.
I think those things either come from one of two people who have zero anxiety whatsoever about anything in the world and have no clue how people with anxiety function, or someone who is on 1000% anxiety and is just warning the world of a blade of grass that may cut you over in the left quadrant of your yard as well. It's like, it's nothing in the middle, and neither is very healthy. You know, when you're just like, I have no concept of what is appropriate to say. And on the other end, I have no concept of what to say, because I want to say everything.
Well, and if you're smiling in a picture with a woman, and it looks like you might be a couple,
it might not be appropriate to bring up the person's ex in the comment thread. Just a thought. I mean,
like,
let somebody
be happy.
I know. Like, I can laugh about it, and she can laugh about it. She knows. And I asked her before I even posted a picture, but she said, "I'm a public figure. I would like to post pictures of us, because I'm happy with this. And I know you are too, but is it okay? And she said, yeah, definitely. So I got her permission before I did any of that. But I was like, just so you're aware, you never know what a comment may bring. But for the most part, it's been really nice and really super kind. So I do appreciate that. And like I said, doing really good, very happy. Harper's doing great. Like I said, we're together all the time here. That's that. And,
you know, and I'm just going to throw this out there that if you get married again down the road, mm-hmm. and if I show up with beer and a cute little pink cooler over my shoulder that's going with my pink outfit.
I'll have beer at the next one, okay? I promise you that. We'll have
that's
beer.
A deal.
We will have, and you won't have to tend bar at that one. Because
oh, that's right.
You tended bar at a different wedding of mine.
My God.
You've been to both of my weddings.
I have, and I bartended the first. That was
you
the
did.
First one,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Just so y'all know, if you need a bartender for a wedding or a private function, just give me a holler.
Carol does great.
I'm quite good at it.
Yeah. So there you go. That's that.
That's funny.
Anyway, I'm not looking for any sort of pity or anything. We're all doing good. And I'll say, you know, from everything I know over there, Jen looks like she's doing pretty good too. So I have nothing to say on that half, but everybody's okay doing their own things. So that's good. That's that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. Hey, Catherine from Oklahoma here. I've told you a few stories. It's been a while since I told a memory. And I have told you how I'm an empath or gifted with discernment. I grew up in many different churches since my dad loved helping people get their churches started. And I'm going to tell you in detail just how the gift works. This gift comes from my mom's side of the family. And unfortunately, it all involves death. From my great-grandmother knowing my aunt was going to die young when she was born, telling my grandma that she would not be able to keep her, to my aunt knowing as a teenager she was going to die soon. Even though no one ever spoke of it, she died at 18 years old. Grandma told me that she would not stop asking people about death or if they were going to miss her when she was gone. She asked everyone, teachers, relatives, friends, and even my grandmother, as to my father's side of the family. Anyway, she passed away from a heart attack and an aneurysm. They did not know which triggered which. Doctors told my family they happened at the same time. They even drug tested her and found nothing. That was not the first death my great-grandmother knew about, or at the last. My mother was 14. She watches her sister pass before her. I was born a year later. I had nightmares from the time I was born till about 7 or 8 years old, just about every night. When I was still a newborn, my family took me to a doctor to see why I would always cry in my sleep. Doctors told them I was fine. Just have nightmares because my mom had nightmares the whole time she was pregnant with me. Mom said she had nightmares less after giving birth. I don't know how true or untrue this is, but even grandma would tell me she slept better. The death gift for some reason skipped grandma. Mom did not have it either. Both can see spirits and know if they are good or have evil intentions. Great-grandmother could not see spirits or would not talk about one. But for some reason, I have this gift just as my great-grandmother and aunt. It works for me a little differently still. I knew my grandmother on her father's side passed away on the 23rd of December and told mom to pick up the phone and that it was grandpa. She looked at me oddly since I just kept on playing my video game. But as soon as she walked by my room and into the dining room, the phone rang. It was grandpa telling her the news. When she got off the phone, she came back to tell me that grandma had passed. Before she could say anything, I said, I know. She said, know what? I told her then that I knew that grandma had passed. That's the first one I can remember telling her about. I was 13. She told me that I knew of her grandpa, that he was going to pass, but she said I told her that one in my sleep 2 days before he passed. I was 8 years old then. The next one that happened was my best friend in high school. I was 17 and two and a half weeks from graduating. I remember it still to this day, very vividly, like it just happened. It was a Sunday in mid-May. I felt frantic all day, like I really needed to go and see her. Really needed to see her and talk to her. But felt like I could do nothing. I was at church out of the sticks where you cannot get reception from a cell phone. But the time we got to where I could call, it was 1 a.m. and my phone was dead. So I went to bed and did not sleep very well. I got to school and got the news I was dreading. I did not want to hear. I knew already, but was in denial. Until my teacher pulled me away from lunch and told me that she had passed. That's when I truly hated the gift and wished that it would just go away. But it never did. The next year I was in college and wanting and wishing for things to be normal, but I was wrong. I went to a college that allowed me to stay home where I lived with my grandparents on my mom's side. One day grandma was late picking me up from my last class. She took me to and from school. Since I did not have a car, I had this horrible feeling, not for her, but for my great aunt, her oldest sister. Neither of me to aunts had the gift, but a few of my cousins are sensitive. As soon as I got in the car, I asked grandma what was wrong with my aunt. She told me that my aunt Kathleen had stomach cancer. With no shock on her face anymore, she was to use me at this point, knowing before she knew or before she could tell me. We visited my great aunt every day in the hospital. She spent 2 weeks there till they sent her home to pass in comfort. She lasted a few more days after getting home. I told grandma she only had a day left. She told me that's fine and would go see her and not say anything. We stayed all day at my great aunt's and uncle's house. By the time it was midnight, grandma said, "It's time to go. Before we worry your sister too much." My only response to her was, "Are you sure?" Aunt Kathleen had only a few more hours. She knew I really meant it. Even as all my cousins stared at me in disbelief at my words, she smiled and said, "I'm sure." We went home and went to our own rooms. I did not sleep well since my dream was of my aunt, telling me that she loved me and to be good and not to freak out my cousins again. When I woke up and went to the dining room for breakfast, grandma had tears but was smiling. "Tell everyone at 2:30 a.m. that Uncle Tab called and told her that Aunt Kathleen had passed. She was happy to know she did not suffer anymore, but sad to know she's gone." The whole time we helped with the funeral, and even during the funeral, all my cousins stayed a few feet from me and would not look at me. Only two cousins are my age. The rest are 15 to 27 years older than I am. So it's not really teens seeing a weird person. It's a bunch of adults being very afraid of an 18-year-old. Anyway, I have lots of stories I can tell you guys. I now work at a nursing home as an aide and for the same thing with the residents now. Sometimes it's funny watching the confused looks on their faces when I hand them things that they were looking to ask for, but had not gotten the words out yet. I'm an EPP and have enjoyed the podcast for a few years now. Keep up the good work and I'll tell you a few stories about the haunted house I grew up in or the apartment that my husband and I lived in Arkansas as newlyweds. Take care for now. I don't know how you would work in that environment having that ability.
Oh, that would be hard.
Because you would just walk around all the time because it's a ticking time bomb of people that are going to die.
Well, as the story was going on, I was like, I wonder if she has this ability with everybody or just with certain people she's really connected with.
Yeah, maybe that's
but
the case.
But it sounds like it's more, she has a big connection with a lot of people.
Sure.
Because I think a lot of us have had weird premonitions about things like that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I did with my grandmother. I knew before she was going to die. Mm-hmm. But I think because you're so connected.
Yeah.
To that person.
And maybe that's what makes it
different. It's really interesting when you're not really that connected to someone and you can do that.
Picking up that and friend. I mean, and that's another thing too. Like if you have that knowledge of people who are not necessarily in the predictive state of death, you know, like in hospice or nursing care, but it's like they're 17 years old and in high school and like that's and they a heart attack and aneurysm, like that's not common at all. But to know those things, I mean, and then do you share? Do you want to share? Because I mean, in some ways, I mean, a family would it's horrible, but I don't know how you'd even handle, like if somebody came to you and said, "So-and-so is going to die tomorrow. We can't tell you exactly how or why, but they're going to die." So would you take that moment to go and say, make sure you have everything said to that person and hear them as much as you can in that time window? Or do you do nothing and just say that person's crazy, that won't happen, and then it happens? You know, would you want that window to do that?
I think it would depend on who it was.
Like people want that window when they're old.
Like if it was my sister, like if I knew something, I'm really close to her and I could see us having that conversation and she wouldn't judge me. But I think it would be really hard to go up to somebody's, you know, parents you really don't know that well and say, you know, my best friend, your daughter, she's going to die.
Yeah.
And it's going to be sudden. So say what you have to say to her. they would think you're crazy. And you know, they wouldn't say what they have to say to her because the whole time they would be like, she is crazy. That was horrible of you to say that. Yeah. Get out of my house.
Yeah.
I don't think people would be very receptive to it.
And then after they die, they think you'd almost be like an accessory to murder because they'd be like, "How? She knew that. She said something." So
they go to the cops.
Exactly.
You'd be on Dateline.
You would be.
And there would, you'd have been interviewed and all of that shit.
Yeah.
It would have gone on forever. You'd have been a suspect. And then finally they'd have cleared your name.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's, and then like, not only just that, like she's lived in a haunted house and stuff.
It's a lot that's going on.
Her brain would be interesting to be in for just a day. I think it would be too much for me.
It would be a lot.
Like a day of it.
Yeah, it certainly would. Very interesting story. Thank you for writing in and sharing that that gift.
You've given us a lot to think about.
I mean, is that a gift? Is that a curse? I don't know. I mean, I guess it all depends how you want to look at it. But the death gift. Creepy.
I don't know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello, my name's Terry, and I'm a new EPP, so I thought I would call in and tell the stories, one that still bothers me today, and I was hoping to get your feedback on it. About 15 years ago, my husband and I lived in our first small house, and I wouldn't say it was haunted, but there were a few little things that happened there. But one thing did happen that really terrified me. I guess you would call it sleep paralysis, from what I've heard and read about. But I don't know. At any rate, it was one morning in the early kind of dawn light. And as I was kind of waking up, I felt a presence kind of next to me, and not in a good way. And I became aware of it, I started to look to the side of the bed where it was to my right. And I felt this searing pain in my stomach. And it was like, the only thing I can liken it to was when I was a kid, I was going to put something in a light socket, and my finger accidentally touched the prong as it went into the socket, and it looked like this bolt of electricity. It felt like a ball going up my arm, and I quickly let go of it. But that's the only thing I can think of to explain what I was feeling. It was like going into my stomach and radiating through my limbs, and I was kind of shaking, and I thought I was going to die. I mean, I believed that I was going to die. And then I heard this kind of voice, but it was not outside of me. It was more inside of me. And I know it wasn't my own thoughts, because I wouldn't have thought of that, because I was panicking and thinking I was going to die. But it said, whatever you do, don't look to your right. Because I was trying, I was kind of frozen. I was wanting to open my eyes. It said, whatever you do, don't look to the right. So it was one of those things that, you think somebody tells you not to do something and you can't help yourself, you do it anyway. I knew better. I knew not to do that. So I didn't. And then it kept going on. And this went on for, of course, it seemed like an eternity to me, but I kept thinking, is this going to stop? And I was aware of this. I knew it had to be this thing, whatever it was, I couldn't see and didn't want to look at, turn to look at, was doing this to me. And it was getting worse. And I thought, well, here, I'm going to die. And, my husband was in the room. I'm thinking, I'm going to die here. And he's never going to know what happened to me. I couldn't figure out what was happening. And I was so scared. And all of a sudden, whatever it was, my thought process, it seemed like another voice. But again, it wasn't audible. It was within me, said, say the Lord's Prayer. So I did. I started saying the Lord's Prayer, and it stopped immediately. And I felt like it was gone, that there was nothing there, and the pain stopped, and I was sitting there breathing heavily and just feeling like I was exhausted and still just scared to death. I was scared to move. I was scared to, you know, and I had to open my eyes and I just looked straight up at the ceiling. I didn't want to move a muscle for a little, so I kind of got some idea of what the hell had just happened to me. And in fact, my voice didn't even work. I was wanting to call for my husband, but my voice wouldn't even work. And so I just kind of laid there. I felt like I'd been just like a dish rag. I mean, just no energy, no nothing. But then after, I think I just fell back asleep later on because I didn't want to move from that spot for a while and I didn't know what else to do. And I for whatever reason, either I was too terrified or I couldn't speak. So I just fell back asleep and slept for a few more hours. And then when I got up, I looked around, there was nothing around, and I went in and talked to my husband. I'm like, you won't believe what happened to me. And I told him about it. He was just, I mean, I he believed me, but I, you know, what do you say? Something like that. But I'm interested in hearing your thoughts about that. If you have had anybody else that has experienced anything like that, I know I kind of looked that up, and sleep paralysis is the only thing I can come up with, but it was the weirdest experience, and it was terrifying at the time, and I've never forgotten it. So nothing has happened. I mean, I never had any episode of a sleep paralysis type thing before that, and I've never had anything like that since. So if you could shed some light on that, I would appreciate it. Thank you, and I enjoy your show very much. I'm glad I found it. And again, I'm an EPP member, so I'm just newly, and I'm so excited to get to hear the other episodes. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your experiences with us. Your thoughts?
I'm going to defer to you, your thoughts, because you've done way more episodes than I have done, obviously, and there was things about that was very different, like the pain.
Yeah.
You know, the severe pain she compared to the electrical.
Yeah.
Shock.
And you know,
I have had some serious sleep paralysis incidents, and I've never had like physical pain like that. Mm-hmm. I have been terrified and other things, but you know, the fact that it was so horrible, she thought she was dying.
And I think
that's pretty extreme.
I think she's called this story in twice, because I recall airing a very similar version of this on an episode with Todd recently. So when you do call in, and we love it, just please call in one time. It does take time for us to get to your stories. Otherwise, we end up repeating some things. A lot of these things were very similar to what I had with my sleep paralysis experience. And I thought she did a really good job describing it as like the electrical type feeling, like almost static electricity, I guess. Because when I had mine, I sat up and then it felt like, I described it as a cloud going through me. But when I think of it the way she described it, it's also accurate to feel it did feel like just complete static electricity going and basically taking you over. And it just felt like, to me, it was the upper part of my body that was feeling the way. It wasn't really painful, but it was scary. And it felt off. It just felt really off. It wasn't like I just couldn't move. It felt like there was something there. It wasn't pressure on me. It really was, like she said, it very eloquently put, it felt like electricity kind of going through you. So I don't know what it was. I mean, I've been told it was sleep paralysis with me. I don't really buy that, just because I moved for a little bit first. And I've never heard other sleep paralysis people really describe it the way she did either, with the electricity feeling. It's usually just
I can't move, you know?
Yeah. So I was just wondering if you'd had other people call in with similar things.
That was a very unique way of putting it. So not a lot as to the way she described it, other than my own personal experience.
Do you think that you could be in a sleep paralysis state and be so, because it's almost catatonic. It's like you can't move.
Yeah.
And some of them, well, every time it's happened to me, it's been really terrifying. And because you can't move and it's like something's walking in the room and it's looking at you or something really bizarre. And it's horrifying.
Yeah.
But really, that's a dream state. It's like a bad dream with another layer attached to it. So I don't really think that there was anything in my room. Maybe there was a presence or something. I don't know. But I did eventually wake up and there wasn't anything in my room.
Yeah.
But could you go into a state like that, that would be so deep that, you know, you literally think you're dying? That's what I think so scary about.
I would imagine so. I mean, I guess it also has to register with you, you know, because I didn't feel like I was dying, but I guess that's all perspective. I mean, anytime you experience something that physically is taking over your body, I mean, now that I'm older, I think I'm dying. And when I was 18, I didn't think I was dying when I had that experience. But now I had a panic attack. I thought I was having a heart attack. You know, and you go to other things too, where it's like, this feels really weird. Is this a stroke? Is this that? So I guess the feeling of dying is more so a mindset of where you're at more than anything else versus because one person could say, I felt like electricity. The other one's like, I felt like I was dying. Really could be the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I don't know, but
then like the way she heard somebody very distinctly say the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
very intense.
It is. It is very intense. I think that's what I did actually in that state myself, when that happened. And I to this day don't know what the hell it was. I mean, it was weird. It was weird. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We'd love to hear your stories, and we'd love for you to support the program and help keep us on the air. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of that on those platforms, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.